This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jacob Emerson. Jacob's the leading journalist, writer, editor at Becker's Healthcare that covers the insurance and payer industry and does a brilliant job of it. We talked to Jacob regularly on the podcast about issues and trends and stories he's watching closely. Jacob, let me tee it up and have you take it away. What are the couple of stories that you're watching closely?
Yeah, good to talk with you again, Scott. So hot off the presses this morning, Optum is going to be purchasing Steward Healthcare's physician group. So that's obviously a massive story, both for Steward and the financial issues that they've been facing, along with the fact that this continues Optum's acquisition spree of physicians all over the country and further cements it as the largest employer of physicians, not just in the country, but probably the world. And then another story I wanted to talk with you about, a trend and a topic we've discussed many times, hospitals dumping their Medicare Advantage contracts, either some or all. But now we're actually starting to get data about this topic. We obviously reported this topic first last year, back in the fall, early fall. But now we're starting to see surveys of CFOs at health systems all over the country. And we're starting to get some hard numbers around what health systems are really thinking when it comes to their MA contracting strategies moving forward.
So take a moment first. I just saw this morning the announcement of the Steward Optum deal, the Steward Physician Group. I mean, obviously, Steward's been in tremendous financial trouble. Optum's been this sort of repository of choice for physicians, as it now employs 7 or 8% of physicians in the United States. Tell us a little bit what you can about this deal, maybe how it unfolded and what you see going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think it's probably around 10% of all physicians now in the United States are under the United Health Group umbrella. And so this proposed sale of the medical group, it's called Stewardship Health. It's a part of the 33 hospital system. And it would help them shore up some of the financial challenges that they've been seeing over these past few years with falling behind on their bills, their rents. And if approved, the physicians who work at Steward facilities across 9 states would be employed by Optum. So the state of Massachusetts now has 30 days to assess the effects of this proposed transaction across a lot of different metrics, care quality, costs, access, things like that. And the state does have the ability to conduct a more extensive review if it chooses to do so. Notably, we've seen Senator Elizabeth Warren come out raising concerns about this potential deal. She's in the past been very outspoken about Optum and its M&A activity. And so it's not surprising that she is also speaking out against this proposal. The other important piece of this story, though, is that the Justice Department late last month, or at least it was reported late last month, that they've begun an antitrust investigation into United Health Group, specifically in terms of how their United Healthcare insurance division and Optum work together, how that relationship has developed. And reportedly, the DOJ is looking into how these physician group acquisitions by Optum, how that works with United Healthcare, maybe or allegedly favoring Optum-owned groups within its insurance contract pricing, which could remove rival physicians from specific attractive payment arrangements. And as you know, Scott, the DOJ has unsuccessfully sued over United Health's acquisition activity in the past. And so we'll see how this all shakes out with Steward. But just to cap off this story, in terms of where Optum's purchases stand right now across the country, or proposed ones, they've just been approved by Oregon state regulators to bypass a state review of a purchase of Corvallis Clinic, which is a chain of multi-specialty clinics across Oregon. And then right now they're still in the process of potentially purchasing Amedisys, which is a home health and hospice care provider. And that would make Optum one of the largest hospice care providers in the country, which really plays along with their Medicare Advantage strategy. So it's fascinating to watch even just this year, how much they are growing.
I mean, it's really a fascinating story here, because you got on one hand, United, Optum, and some different issues out there being considered by the Department of Justice and so forth. On the other hand, you have the typical situation where mergers get approved because you've got a financially challenged group like the Steward Health Group that needs to do something. And that's one of the things that often is a way around antitrust issues and so forth. When you've got a financially beleaguered party, even if financially beleaguered due to poor management on the Steward side or whatever it might be. But what a fascinating, fascinating story this is. And to see this unfold after Steward's been in the news so much the last couple months in terms of their situation, just absolutely fascinating. And what a mess Steward Healthcare became. And now you've got the you know, one of the largest companies in America trying to bail them out and make hay out of it and so forth. And what a fascinating set of facts. Well, talk to us about Medicare Advantage. Tell us about hospitals starting to drop out of Medicare Advantage and how big a trend this is as Medicare Advantage becomes more than half of all Medicare enrollees. But, you know, why do we being panned the last couple of years now for the amount of denials and other kinds of issues with it, you know, authorization denials and denials of care and so forth. It's just in hospitals, you know, hating to deal with, at least some of them seemingly hating to deal with Medicare Advantage. Tell us what you're seeing there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you hit it head on. It's because of prior authorization requirements. It's slow, delayed, or even we've heard non-existent payment from Medicare Advantage carriers as reasons why certain health systems have said we are not going to be accepting Medicare Advantage patients any longer. And, you know, these cases, it is happening all over the country, but it is certainly not in a majority of the nation's hospitals or health systems. So we should, you know, make very important note of that. But notably, Scripps Health was one of the biggest ones last year. Well, starting this year, though, that they've dropped all Medicare Advantage contracts because their CEO told us they were facing $75 million in losses on these contracts every year. And then one of the most read stories so far on the Becker's website this year is that a hospital in Connecticut, Bristol Health, said that they were eliminating 60 positions across their system, specifically because of lack of payments from Medicare Advantage carriers. So the CEO there essentially blamed layoffs on Medicare Advantage. And so we recently got some data into the newsroom from the Healthcare Financial Management Association, who surveyed 135 health system CFOs in January about their Medicare Advantage contracting strategy moving forward. And according to them, 16% of health systems are planning to stop accepting one or more of these plans in the next 2 years. But even more notably, another 45% said they are considering the same thing, but have not yet made a final decision, which essentially means that more than half of these system CFOs that were surveyed don't want to play games anymore with the Medicare Advantage plans. So that's some really fascinating data that we've gotten. I think that's probably the most concrete numbers we've seen so far around what this trend is looking like around the country. It certainly does not invoke anything positive, I think, for how health systems and hospitals are dealing with Medicare Advantage right now. So we'll see how this continues to develop. But this is very fascinating data to see.
And what's fascinating about it is you have this disconnect going on where consumers don't necessarily love Medicare Advantage at all, and I think that's the stats on it so far. But at the same time, these huge plans are so good at selling to seniors. And seniors, of course, are all over the board in terms of their ability to deal with these sales pitches. I know my parents are 85 and 90. Selling to one of them, anybody could sell anything to one of them who's got, you know, who's struggling with some dementia. And one of them is very, very sharp, but, you know, it must be overwhelming, depending on the age of the senior, the situation of the senior, to be able to figure this out, whether it should be in Medicare Advantage or not. I mean, it must be incredibly challenging. The hospital systems are becoming, of course, more sophisticated, and they're different animals. They get hurt enough on reimbursement by Medicare Advantage, it becomes very clear to them they don't want to be in Medicare Advantage. But what a challenging situation, because these big health plans are so good at selling to seniors, and that's not meant on a total knock on the big health plans, but it's kind of a knock on them because it seems like they're just overwhelming in their sales abilities, and they're overwhelming in their lobbying abilities with the President Biden's of the world and the President Trump's before him. It's not bipartisan. They've given it to the insurance companies on this issue, both sides. But what a fascinating mess, Jacob.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're absolutely right, Scott. It's nuanced because, you know, the reason seniors are signing up for these plans is because they have better benefits than traditional Medicare does. Traditional Medicare has no dental, no hearing, no vision benefits, and it doesn't have all the other things like a lot of these plans offer now, like grocery, transportation, even, you know, you need a certain equipment in your home, like railings. A lot of these plans will pay for that. And that's very enticing for now more than half of the nation's seniors that are enrolled in these plans, the majority of which are low-income individuals. And so I think that's the other thing that it doesn't get talked about a lot is that having a traditional Medicare plan with, let's say, a Medicare supplement plan to make up for all these things lacking with traditional Medicare, it's expensive. It at least up front, it can be a lot more expensive than Medicare Advantage. And so, and I know too, when we talk with Medicare Advantage carriers, especially some of the smaller ones that are, for example, attached to health systems, a lot of these executives, they really care for these members, and they see it as they're the quarterback of care for these seniors and for these members, where they're coordinating, they have a better eye into what's going on with these members, and they can customize and specialize the care and make sure that these seniors are getting what they need versus Medicare, which they might not. And Medicare Advantage is very popular, both with members and politically on both sides of the aisle. So again, I think it's kind of a nuanced conversation here. And when I talked to the former CMS administrator, Don Berwick, about this a few months back, he said too, you know, a lot of these smaller plans, the nonprofit ones, the ones attached to health systems, they're doing a great job in terms of what we're talking about and coordinating this care. It's a lot of the problems we're seeing are with some of the larger carriers, essentially the same problems you'd see with commercial health insurance, like you and I have, in terms of prior authorization and things like that. A lot of that is now happening among the senior population through these larger carriers. So I think you kind of have to talk about this.
It is amazing. I think you just nailed this so well, because it's amazing. When I talk to CEOs of health systems that are running MA plans, they really do talk, and it might be that they're on message, it might be that's really the case. They really do talk about greater care coordination, and they talk about our 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 enrollees. They really talk about how they're able to better manage care. When you talk to the major insurance companies, unless you're talking to somebody totally on message, they talk about medical loss ratios and whether or not they're making money off the Medicare Advantage enrollees. I mean, they're very different discussions, at least to start with. And then they probably circle back on both sides to, are we doing okay with this economically? And are we actually caring for patients in any positive way? But really, your point is so well taken. When I talk to systems on it, they seem so much more engaged in as an integrated health system in trying to deliver great care. And you talk to big payers about it, the only hear you hear about it is when they're denying or Medicare loss ratios, or they're trying to uptick to the government to get paid better and so forth. So what a fascinating dichotomy. Yeah.
I think just the last thing to share there, Scott, in terms of some interesting data we've seen is that health system owned Medicare Advantage enrollment is still growing all over the country, but it is underperforming with respect to the largest carriers and payers. And currently, it only makes up 13% of the Medicare Advantage market, and that's compared to 17% in 2019. So health systems Medicare Advantage enrollment, their market share is continuing to go down because the largest carriers are gobbling up all the people aging into Medicare all over the country.
Right. The larger carriers are very good on the sales and marketing side. They're very good on the data and analytics side. What a fascinating situation. Anyways, Jacob, as always, fascinating to visit with you. Two fascinating topics, Steward Healthcare Optum, as well as Medicare Advantage and hospitals. What a fascinating set of discussions. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Always great to speak with you. I know next week we'll be at the Becker's Healthcare Annual Meeting, so we'll be off next week and back at it with you the week after. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Yeah, excited to see you there, Scott. Thanks.